Hi, good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be here. It's an honor. If you would please stand with me to the read of Scripture. We will read Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. That will be our verse for the rest of the sermon. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. I will read the passage, and then we will pray so the Lord will guide us and give us wisdom this morning. The text says like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, "For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." This morning, brother, I have titled this sermon, "From God in the Sight of God." And my main focus today is to let us see what the purpose of a preacher ought to be. What's the purpose? Oh, you may sit down, I'm sorry. And the purpose and then the goal of a minister and a preacher of the Word of God. So let us pray. Please pray with me right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ, I come before you, Lord. And I recognize that I am weak and I have no wisdom on my own. Please, Father, we need more than rhetoric, more than words. We need the power of your Spirit today among us. Help me, Lord. Help my mind. Help my thoughts. Give me a pure heart before you. Guide us today. Guide my thoughts. Please be with us in the name of Christ. Let your name be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the second epistle to the Corinthians was probably written in a little after the first epistle, maybe around 55 or 56 AD. It was written from Macedonia because Paul went to Macedonia to look for Titus, his beloved son in the faith. When Paul found Titus in Macedonia, Titus informed Paul about the issues that were still afflicting the congregation at Corinth. As a result, he wrote this letter to reinforce his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. It was necessary that Paul did this to preserve the well-being of the church. This letter was written in the midst of agitation and conflict by some of the false teachers that were inside the congregation of Corinth. But at the same time, we see in this letter a great joy and affection from Paul to the brethren in Corinth. 2 Corinthians is a very personal letter from Paul, and it gives us a unique insight to the heart of the apostle towards his ministry and his motivation. His credibility as an apostle was being under attack by the Judaizers, by the false teachers, so he defends his ministry for the sake of the gospel. In doing this, he offers a perspective that will encourage every minister when enduring difficult times in the ministry. So our purpose today is to see what the preacher should not be. And we will also see what the preacher should be and what he should do in the authority of the preacher. We will fully concentrate on verse 17, and that will be the whole text that we'll be studying today. First of all, we will see what the preacher should not be. So verse 17, the first section of the verse says, "For we are not like many." We start this verse with a negative adverb that translates "not," and it proceeds with the verb "we are." The apostle is telling us something that he as a preacher and as a minister was not. That is, he was not like many. This is Paul making a clear distinction between him and the false teachers that are included in the many, of course. These false teachers were seeking a title of authority in the church only to have privileges and use the congregation for their wicked motives and they were using the congregation for their wicked desires, as Paul will mention that in this epistle later on. They could sell biblical truths and compromise Scripture as long as it was convenient for them. As Jude tells us in his book, he describes these persons as those who have crept in unannounced and ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our Lord and only Master Jesus Christ. So first of all, the apostle is trying to make a clear distinction of what he is, what he was as a minister of God, and the rest of the false teachers that were dwelling the church of Corinth. Therefore, the minister of Christ is not to be like many who peddle the word of God. He, like the verse says, we are not like many. And what do they do? Peddling the word of God. The word peddle is a present active verb that means to engage in retail trade. And it carries the nuance of trickery or avarice. So these wicked men, the Judaizers, the false teachers among Corinth, were using the word of God for their own profit. They were selling truth for their own profit. All they were looking was for money, power, and please their flesh. As Paul warned the Philippians about these false teachers in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, he mentions the Philippians, "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." So the minister of God, the preacher, he who has been called to the ministry to serve Christ, he cannot use the word of God for his own profit. As the apostle says, we're not like many who peddle the word of God. We're not like many peddling the word of God. We are not to follow the sociological fads of this generation, the philosophical creeds of the society. We're also always follow Scripture as our authority, as God breatheth, the authority of God. So the minister has to make a difference of his own because he serves Christ and not men. So we see that what the preacher should not be, and he should not be like many. And this tells us there are already many inside the church of Christ that are peddling with the word of God. It is a reality that there are many inside the church that are using the gospel of Christ. They are using the word of God to get a profit. They offer you promises. They offer you liberation from illness or such things. But all of that is false. So the apostle warns the Corinthians about that. And then we see next what the preacher should be. The next phrase says, "For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity." But as from sincerity. In contrast of the false teachers that were using the church of Corinth and preaching to them, to the church, only for a monetary, an economical benefit, Paul says that he gives, that his motive is sincerity. This is a compound word formed from two separate words. One of them means warmth or light of the sun, and the second word means to test. So this word, sincere, means tested by the sunlight. That's what it means, pure or transparent. So the motive of Paul's ministry was love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, like he tells Timothy in chapter 1, verses 5. This pure motive gave him, the Apostle Paul, the strength to persevere and the willingness to maintain faithful to his master. Only a sincere heart, the right motive, will keep us going in the ministry of Christ. If we're looking the ministry for an economical benefit or power, that will eventually run away and get old, and it will not be sufficient. But if we seek to serve Christ for love and a clean conscience and a pure heart, that will be sufficient, and it will keep us going the rest of our pilgrimage on this earth. He didn't distort the truth with lies. Paul didn't change truth so people would accept the gospel. He told them the gospel of God, which was the power of God unto salvation. He never merchandised with the gospel, as he will, as some others did. And he says in chapter 4, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul says clearly that he has not used the word of God for craftiness. He never adulterated the word of God, and he never used it for a personal benefit. And that is what the ministry of Christ should have in his mind. He should be sincere before his congregation, before the Lord that knows everything, and before himself. The preachers of today ought to examine their hearts. We have to examine our hearts and really put to test the motives that have us in the ministry. Why do we want the ministry? Why do we want to sing or to preach or to teach? Is it a financial stability? Is it the desire to be honored by men? Is it the power or authority that drives us to be in a leadership at the church? Or is it the glory of Christ and his love towards us that encourage us to preach and serve him? Because he's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, as the book of Revelation says. So we come in this. Paul is being attacked by the Judaizers, by the false teachers, but he's telling the brethren at Corinth, I'm not like them. They will sell you truths that you want to hear as long as you give them something, as long as you give them money or power or attention, or you give them a greater honor. And Paul says to them, I have loved you, even though by loving you I've been loved less. And that is what a minister, what a preacher, what a servant of the Lord has to have in mind. I serve the church of Christ, and I serve the church of Christ because the Lord that bought it with his own blood is worthy of my life, of my servants, of my service, and of everything that I have and possess. That's my power, my youth, my energy, my time. Worthy is the Lamb. Then, we also see in this text the authority of the preacher. Where does the authority of the preacher lay? Is it on him, or the denomination that's behind him? Or is it behind some people that have given him such authority? Paul continues this discourse with the next phrase, and this phrase is very important. But as from God. He says, the Apostle Paul acknowledged that the words that he was proclaiming and the gospel that he was preaching were not his, nor were founded in his mind. The words that he was preaching was the gospel of God. That was the gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. In Romans 1, chapter 16 says that. His message was the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints. The authority of the apostle was absolutely founded upon scriptures and the truth of Christ revealed to him as an ambassador of Jesus. That was the authority of Paul, the scripture and scripture alone. The authority of the minister or the preacher, like I said, is not within himself. The only authority that we possess as preachers is founded upon the Word of God. Sufficient. And in the Word of God, the minister must believe in the Scriptures' sufficiency and authority. The preacher must believe in the Scriptures' authority so that every time he comes before the people of God, he only gives the message of God and not his own ideologies, not his own thoughts or desires. We shall only say, like the prophets of Old Testament, thus says the Lord. That's all that the prophets said. Thus says the Lord, and their message was confined in what the Lord told them, nothing else and nothing more. So we as preachers, we as ministers of God, can only preach to the saints of God what the Scriptures have tell us. We can't we cannot dilute it, or we cannot add to it either. We just have to maintain faithful to Holy Scripture. Many think, many persons think the authority of modern knowledge or secular consensus is what they need. Many people think that they need the authority of some big foundation or some big human institution. But there's only one authority that the preacher needs. And we know what it is, and that is the authority of the Word of God. And I'm putting a lot of emphasis on these because now in our days, we have deviated from the Word of God and we have followed traditions of men. We have followed some other fads that are in the world. We want to listen or obey mandates of men as though they were biblical truths, but they are not. And some people want to put the Church of God under those ordinations of men. Thus they have the church enslaved to human philosophies. But the preacher must know that the Word of God is inerrant, infallible, authoritative, and above all, trustworthy. We must believe that because if we have that conviction in our hearts, we will preach faithfully the Word of God. One of the reasons a preacher may not preach faithfully the Word of God is because he doesn't believe that's true. Therefore, he has to tell stories, telling jokes to the people, because he doesn't believe in the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. But the minister of God must believe that if he wants to be a faithful steward of God. He must immerse himself in Scripture. He must dwell with God in Scripture. And he must dwell in the presence of God so he says what the Lord God has told to his people. And that is not in any extra biblical revelation, but that's in the pages of the canon of Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelations. That's all that we have, and that's all that we need. That's where our foundation is found, and how firm our foundation that we have. That's the Word of God given to us. What a privilege that is, that the Lord Almighty, King of the Creator of the earth and universe, has spoken to men, to feeble, weak men. And that is an honor that we have, and especially a greater honor to preach the Word of God. So we also can see on this text the main audience of the preacher. Who is the preaching especially talking to? Who should the preacher fear when he stands before the congregation of God? Verse 17 says, "We speak in Christ in the sight of God." We speak in Christ in the sight of God. The apostle concludes this verse with the phrase, "We speak in Christ in the sight of God." Of course, Paul's companions and the rest of the apostles were included in the we. We know that. But we see that the main labor of Paul's as a minister and apostle of Jesus was to speak in Christ, to preach, to be herald of the world. The word speak is an active present verb that is used for the sound of musical instruments. As regards speech, it may denote sound rather than meaning, but also the ability to speak. We see then the priority of preaching in the ministry of Paul. He even told the Corinthians in 1st letter, chapter 1, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." So the Paul, the apostle, he was speaking of himself only as an instrument, as a vessel in the hands of the sovereign God. And we as human, we're vessels in the hands of God. We're but instruments. And Christ is the one. We are only instruments through which Christ makes sound the beautiful and glorious melodies of the gospel. When we say something that is biblical, it's not because of our own strength and because of our own wisdom. It is because the Spirit of God that has sealed us and has indwelled our hearts, and it is for the glory and honor of God Himself. We're only instruments, so the preacher must focus on one thing, and that is to speak in Christ. He must preach the Word of God. He must preach. The minister is not called to be an entertainer, a babbler of fruitless speech, but he must be a proclaimer and an herald of the mighty gospel of God. And if we are faithful to the proclamation of the gospel, there will be persecution. The apostle says that in 2 Timothy. And we see that in the book of Acts. The gospel did one thing only, and that was preach the gospel of Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. And they were persecuted. They were hated. They suffer. But Jesus Christ Himself warned us, "You are not of the world. I have chosen you out of the world. And if you were from the world would love you, but you are not from the world." So the preacher must not be afraid of the consequences, because he saw his master suffer for the sake of truth. So he must suffer as well. We cannot be greater than our master, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he, as the perfect Son of God, being God incarnate, suffered for the truth. We will suffer as well. They will talk of us wrongly. They will try to talk ill of us as well. But as long as we have a clear conscience before God, a pure heart, and a sincere faith, we have nothing to be afraid of. Because greater is He that is in us than the one that's in the world. So we have conquer. We have victory in Jesus Christ, our Savior. If we want to hear at the end of the ages, "Faithful servant," from the voice of Christ, we have to do only one thing, and that is preach faithfully the Word of God. That's it. We don't have to do any other things. We don't have to dress as clowns. We don't have to have people laughing all the time. All we have to do is preach and preach. And when we're done preaching, we got to preach again and pray and pray. And eventually, the Word of God will be manifested. The preaching of the Word is the first essential mark of the church and the minister of God. There's only one central, non-negotiable, immovable, essential priority to the man of God, and that is the preaching of the Word. That's our main job, to preach the whole counsel of God. At the end of His ministry, at the end of our ministry, in the manifestation of Christ, the ultimate question will be, "Did you preach the Word faithfully?" That will be the last question. Did you, as a minister of God, as a preacher, preached faithfully my word? What you said that I was saying, did I really said that? That's what we always have to think. And according to our answer to that question will be our reward. Jesus gave a parable about this servant that was supposed to feed his other servants. And he saw that the master was taking a long time, so he started beating the people. He started eating the master's food. So the master came unexpectedly, and he was whipped. And he was considered as an unfaithful servant. But the good servant, the only thing he did was to feed the flock of Christ. When Peter was restored to his ministry, the only question Jesus asked him were two: do you love me? And then, if you really love me, feed my sheep. If you really love me, feed my people. Don't entertain them. Don't give them what they want to hear, because wicked is the heart of men. But feed them the word of God. And if we do that, we're faithful stewards of Christ. If we keep on pressing towards faithfulness, holiness, and preach the whole counsel of God, as I have said, we can have peace in our hearts. And lastly, this is a very important thing as well. Paul did all this in the sight of God. In the last section, at the part of the last section of the verse, he is saying, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. We speak in Christ in the sight of God. Here, it is used a preposition, which means directly in front of. So Paul has in mind who his main audience was. And that is not the president. That is not the people itself. That was God himself. This word, inside of, means in front of, before of God. Paul knew that he was before God in every moment of his life and every time he spoke in the name of Jesus. God was there listening to every single word that he said, and he's also listening to every single word that we say as preachers. That reality should humble us and lead us to preach with awe and a profound reverence, knowing that the Almighty Creator of all things is in front of us, examining each word that we say in His name. If we say, when somebody goes to court, he has to pledge, right? He's going to say truth. And if he's lying, he's going to go to jail. So when we come before the congregation of God that he has purchased with the blood of Jesus, we come in the name of God, and if what we say is not truth, is not according to Scripture, we will be found guilty of being a bad steward, of being liars, of not being faithful to the Word of God. We care too much of the numbers that are in front of us. If we don't preach to hundreds or thousands, we don't want to preach. If it's only one or two saints, it's not enough for us because our egos are way high. But it is not about the people that are in front of us. It's about the God that's there in the first pew listening to our speech, to our words. So we have to be, one, very careful with what we say, and second, we have to be diligent of what we say. Did we even have the time to study the Word of God as in reverence? Or do we just make something up in 30 minutes so we can use fast food, feed the church with fast food? Something that's not going to help them at all. And the problem of the church today is not outside. It's not the world. They have always been against God and His church. The problem in this generation is in the pulpits. Because a lot of preachers don't preach. A lot of preachers, they just entertain. They be telling jokes, stories of their own life. But we don't need that. I don't need that. I need Christ and Him crucified. What my soul needs is Christ, and what you need and what the church needs and what the world needs is the gospel of God. That's what we need. We are here gathered for one purpose. That is to honor God and to be fed with His Word. To have His Word in us. And like the psalmist said, the Word of God could be sweeter than honey to our mouth. So that's how we should come in the name of Christ. So I will read the verse again, verse 17. For we are not like many peddling the Word of God, but as from God we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Many people make the mistake of coming upon the pulpit or in front of the church with an attitude of irreverence, as though if that was their house, as though they were just talking to anybody or they were just doing something else. But we're coming from the church of God. When the priests of the Old Testament, they came to offer sacrifice, they had to wear specific clothing. They had to do specific rituals, only because God was holy and He demanded that. So we ought to come with a sincere heart, with a humble heart, with a weak heart, so that we might be strengthened in His grace and not in our own strength. Because ours is not strength. We're weak. And eventually we will find out. The Lord will make us weak so that we may just hold on the cross of Jesus, hold on to Jesus. And we might say, like the hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I clinch. And that's we as preachers and as ministers that's what we have to do. Be faithful. Be separate. Be holy. Not be like the many that preach with the wrong motive. We ought to be faithful to God, and we ought to speak in the name of God. So let us pray that we may maintain ourselves faithful to God, and we have a sensitive heart towards His Word, so that we may apply these truths in our daily lives. And let us pray for the preachers of this congregation, so that they may feed the sheep of Jesus. Because we always need a prayer. We always need prayer, because we're weak in ourselves. Like the Paul said in himself in the chapter 12, that Jesus told them that His strength was manifested in the weakness of Paul. And let us honor God and glorify Him and be thankful towards Him for His faithfulness and for the privilege that He has given us to preach in the name, speak in Christ, in the sight of Christ. Let us pray, let us bow our head and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before You, Lord, and I thank You for this privilege that You have given me to be before Your church that You have bought with Your Son's blood. And Lord, I ask that You give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that the Holy Spirit may be with us. Give us a sincere heart, guide us the rest of the day, and please help us, help my weakness, and help this congregation. Let Your name be honored, and Jesus Christ be glorified. In His name I pray, amen.